it ends. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and God the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of grace, that Spirit of truth, that Spirit of comfort, who leads and guides us, we who are in Christ, as we journey from earth to heaven. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for another day, another opportunity to share your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit speak through me, that the people may hear your truth and your wisdom, that we all may know how to love you and worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we all may know how to love one another better and live our lives better according to your word, your will, and your way. And I pray that your greatest blessings be upon us all, including the listeners to this broadcast. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It is in Jesus' name that I do pray. Amen and amen. Welcome to each of you to this morning's Sunday School lesson broadcast for January the 24th, 2016. This lesson is brought to you by the Baptist Ministers Fellowship of Texarkana, USA, where the Reverend Charles Smith is the president. And I am the Reverend Chassie D. Boyd of the Baptist Ministers Fellowship. We presently meet each Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the Greater New Hope Baptist Church, located at 1101 Phoenix Street, Texarkana, Texas, where the Reverend Mayfield Brewster is the pastor. And we invite all ministers to meet with us each Tuesday at 7 p.m. And on the fourth Tuesday, including this Tuesday, we have public worship services at 7 p.m. where everyone is invited. Our lesson subject for today is entitled, Jesus Performs His First Miracle. Jesus Performs His First Miracle. Our devotional reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Our background scripture from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Our printed text comes from those same scriptures, John 2, verses 1 through 12. Our key verses we will use for this morning's broadcast is John chapter 2, verse 3, and verse number 10. And they read as follows. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Verse 10 says, said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine unto now. Again, our lesson subject for today is Jesus performs his first miracle. We began the month with a look at Jacob's love for Rachel. Next, we looked at Solomon's love for a woman. Then last week, we looked at the importance of faithfulness in a marriage between a man and a woman, and the importance of faithfulness between God and his people. Today, we look at Jesus' first miracle, a miracle performed within the context of a wedding reception. For our purposes today, we will divide our lesson into two sections. Section one is entitled, A Problem Arises. Section two is entitled, Jesus is the Solution. Our first section comes from John 2, verses 1 through 3, again, focusing on the idea of a problem arises. These verses read as follows. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. In our text, a couple had married, and now the reception was underway. Jesus' mother Mary was at this wedding reception. Jesus and some of his disciples were also called and invited to the reception. At some point, Mary became aware that the problem of not enough wine existed. So she says to Jesus, her son, they have no wine. Thus, we see a problem arises. You know, life is filled with problems for which we seek solutions. We might say that humans have faced problems ever since the serpent approached Eve in the Garden of Eden. Those problems intensified when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. By obeying the serpent, the devil, Satan, in eating of the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil. We in life face numerous types and degrees of problems. Problems differ at various times in our lives. Problems differ from individual to individual, but we all have them at some point in time. We have spiritual problems. We have church problems. We have marriage problems. We have parent and child problems. We have social problems, justice problems, and financial problems. And we even have, yet and still, unfortunately, racial problems. On August 28, 1963, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose birthday we celebrate in the month of January, gave the well-known I Have a Dream speech. In this speech, he addressed a number of problems that had arisen in America. But today we will briefly look at another speech in which he also addressed problems in America. This speech took place Just a few months later, on February the 5th, 1964, at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey. And I was paraphrase Reverend King and provide a glimpse into this speech. The speech was similar in the dream principles addressed in the I Have a Dream speech. In fact, he entitled this speech, The American Dream. But first, a little history of Drew University. It is instructive that Drew University, like Harvard and Yale, were started to train people in the ways of Christianity and in the application of Christianity in our nation, in our society. Drew University was started in 1867 as a seminary. And so in 1964, at Drew University, the Reverend Dr. King said, America is a dream yet unfulfilled. He was pointing out that problems persist in America. He said this dream is expressed in the Declaration of Independence, where it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He went on to say that this dream is not restricted to whites, to blacks, to Protestants, Catholics, Jews, or Gentiles. No, this Declaration of Independence says this dream is for all men. He intimated that any righteous interpretation of the phrase all men must be that all men include males, females, and people of all races, nationalities, and ethnicities. He emphasized that the phrase inalienable rights refers to certain basic rights derived from God, not from men, and not from the government. In other words, there are certain rights which man can neither give nor take away from an individual. Man may confirm or validate these basic rights. However, man has no legitimate authority to invalidate such rights. Any attempt to invalidate and deny such basic rights is evil and wicked, a problem that needs to be solved, for it is not of God. Dr. King pointed out that American slavery, racial segregation, and racial discrimination represent wicked attempts to invalidate the basic God-given rights of human dignity and liberty. Of course, that was one of his major focus in that day. We know that this same principle applies to other basic human rights, even today. I mentioned three of them today. These are problem areas which have arisen to a higher level in recent times in our national conversation. The first of these problem areas is religious liberty. Kim Davis in Kentucky fought and has so far won her right to work in accordance with her religious conscience against same-sex marriage without having to give up her job as county clerk. She went to jail, and standing for her right to religious liberty as provided in our United States Constitution. She essentially and courageously said to the same-sex marriage religious and government proponents what the apostles said to religious and government authorities of that day, as found in Acts 4, verse 19 through 20, where we find these words: whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And the second problem area that has arisen to a higher level in recent times in our national conversation is that of legal justice. The right for citizens to be protected from unjust law enforcement personnel, and the right of law enforcement personnel to protect themselves from those citizens who would do them harm. And our third problem area that has arisen to a higher level in recent times in our national conversation that I will address today is that of economic justice, which has to do with fair and reasonable economic policies that give everyone equal opportunity to financial sufficiency. Of course, there are many other problem areas that have arisen and persist in America that time does not permit us to address here. And so let us move on to our second topic, and that is being Jesus is the solution. And we cover verses, John 2, verses 4 through 12, and they read as follows. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatever he said unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning thus set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine unto now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. Our key verse says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Clearly, Mary recognized Jesus as the bearer of the solution to this problem of no wine. But Jesus says to his mother, Mary, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. we find that Jesus sensed that his mother was suggesting he do something about the problem. Jesus seems to have known that she was asking him to use his divine powers rather than, say, go down the street and get some more wine. So Jesus does not call her mother, but rather woman. In doing so, he seems to remind her that he was an adult now, and that he really had not planned to demonstrate his miracle-working powers just yet. His mother says to the servant, just do whatever he says do. So Jesus goes ahead and solves the problem that arose. This, at least to some degree, arises out of his love and his compassion. It is out of love and compassion that Jesus came to solve the problem of human sin. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So Jesus tells the servants to fill the pots with water. These pots were available because they were used for some form of ceremonial washing. Verse 6 speaks of a firkin. A firkin is about 10 gallons, so each pot could hold about 20 to 30 gallons of water apiece. After the servants filled the pots with water, Jesus then turns this water into wine. And this was Jesus' first miracle, as John says in verse 11. This proved that Jesus was not an ordinary man. This, of course, manifested forth his glory. It increased the faith of his disciples in him. He also most likely gained some new disciples in the form of the servants who knew they had put water, not wine, into the pot. The wine Jesus made was some great tasting wine. It tasted much better than the wine that had been previously served. Basically, only the servants knew what had happened, as there is no indication that the bridegroom knew what Jesus had done. The chief official thought that the bridegroom had saved the best wine for last, but the bridegroom was probably as confused as the chief official regarding the wine. As I read the scriptures for today, my mind went back to a time in my military days when I was stationed in Heidelberg, Germany. There we had a gospel service at the 3 o'clock hour, and it was a multiracial and a multi-denominational service. And I remember one of the songs that a young man sung was called Jesus Can Work It Out. The song tells us that no matter the problem that we have, we can take it to Jesus. He can work it out. Jesus can indeed work all kinds of problems out. Financial problems, church problems, spiritual problems, racial problems, marriage problems, parent-child, whatever the problem is, health problem, Jesus can work it out. His love, his grace, his compassion, his mercy is just that great. For the Bible teaches us that with God, all things are possible. The Bible calls for us to do our part, however, in both word and by example. This requires our efforts in obedience to his word, his will, and his way. Yes, Jesus can work out any problem that arises. We are vessels that Jesus used to work out such problems. There are many individuals an organization dedicated to being instruments in Jesus' hand. So be encouraged to continue to do your part more and more as you grow in Christ Jesus. Let us be connected. Let us be like that salt and that light. Do the works to glorify the Father that our devotional reading in Matthew 5 speaks to us about. Yes, problems arise, but Jesus is a solution to those problems. Again, this has been the Reverend Chaucer D. Board of the Baptist Ministers Fellowship, Texarkana, USA. We meet each Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the Greater New Hope Baptist Church, 1101 Phoenix Street, Texarkana, Texas. We invite all ministers to meet with us each Tuesday. And on the fourth Tuesday, we look forward to seeing all of you, the public, to worship with us at 7 p.m. For everyone is invited. God bless you and have a nice day.